Romans chapter 11. Tonight, I'm going to give us just a few minutes at the end that we're going to make application of this. We may kneel or just right where you're at in your seat. I know many of you are unable to kneel and respect that. But tonight is a focus of thanksgiving and a thought that really for me comes from what is a theme verse for me. I probably have about 10 of these. This is one of the top 10 on my list. I love this verse of scripture, and it's kind of a theme for me. And rather than just being a kind of a neat verse and a neat thought that Paul would give us here, actually to me, this is a worldview. And that's the approach I want to take with it tonight. But to me, this is something that frames the way you live. Romans 11, verse 36. And you've heard me share it before. If it's on the screen now, we have the Amplified here. It says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. So be it." Amplified. Eugene Peterson in the Message Bible makes everything awfully fresh. He writes, "Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise." Say it with me. Yes, 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 which is amen. There was a day that everything changed for man, and we walked through this in our probably second week of the thread a long time ago now, beginning of the year. And the result is Satan tempted Adam and Eve, made in the image of God, and all that God had created them to be was changed at that moment. Paul summarized it this way in Romans 5. He said, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men." 1 Corinthians 15, "For since death came through a man, for as in Adam all die." Death became part of the reality of man's existence. That breath of life, think of the personal nature. I always am taken by that image of God breathing his breath of life into Adam. How phenomenal is that? But it changed. It was snuffed out then. Man, the way that Solomon summarized it is like this, Ecclesiastes 12. "The dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it." The dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. That is a theme throughout the Word of God. And I want us to look at the thought tonight of returning. And of course, returning thanks, but the entire idea of returning. The anchoring premise that I have for tonight is this: we originate from God and return to God everything. We originate from God and we return to God everything tonight, because everything comes from God and goes back to God. It's been a favorite verse of mine. I don't remember how many years ago that I came to that verse, but I've prayed it so many times, and I've meditated on it so many times, that everything comes from him and through him and to him are all things. Because I want God to get glory, don't you, tonight? And anyone who's short-sighted enough to think anything comes from them, no. Everything comes from God. I remember a time in my life that I prayed so specifically for something. I longed for it. I prayed. I sought God for it. And finally it came. And I have all of my life now for many, many years always remembered to thank him. But it's easy because I remember how long I waited for that. And I prayed and I sought him. Have you ever asked God to do something and it took a while, but when he did, you'll never forget that he did? That's how I picture those in scripture that Jesus healed. How could those lepers, 9 of them, not return? How could 9 not return? Only one came back, and Jesus took note of that. To ignore this reality has some pretty steep consequences, and that's what I want us to look at tonight. 3 main points, 3 sub-points. I get that from my dad. Let's look at it together. To ignore the reality of returning leads us to 3 stark realities, because this verse, and confirm with the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, this text about that life, everything is all about God, his glory, his purpose, his design. And that's why then we are made. So if we don't grasp the reality of returning everything to him, first of all, we have a significance crisis in our lives. Because when we go to seek our purpose and our meaning in life outside of God in any way, we lose our significance. It's done outside of God from the very beginning. We're off course. The whole paradigm of life is skewed. I think of Dr. Will Provine. Many of you might have seen, and I'd recommend it for everyone here. It is a phenomenal film that Ben Stein came out with years ago called Expelled, and it was tracking professors and universities all across America who are unwilling to bend when it comes to evolution, and they lose their jobs left and right. And Ben Stein takes you on a journey. It's called Expelled. It's well worth seeing. And he draws some amazing conclusions of what evolution has done to man. But here is an example of Will Provine, a professor of history and biology at Cornell University, raised in the Christian faith, and then an atheistic evolutionist professor got a hold of his young mind, and he fell away from God. He's one of those prodigals we just prayed for. But here's how he says it. This professor says, but it starts by giving up an active deity, and then it gives up the hope that there's any life after death. And when you give up those two, the rest of it falls or follows fairly easily. You give up the hope that there is an imminent morality. And finally, there's no need for human free will. If you believe in evolution, you can't hope for there being any free will. There's no hope whatsoever of there being any deep meaning in human life. We live, we die, and we're gone. We're absolutely gone. You hear there a man that doesn't believe in a creator. A man who doesn't believe in any moral absolutes, a man who says it doesn't matter then. And see, the significance is gone really in your life. Why live if that's the way you're going to choose to live? This leads us to a second thing, and that's a squandered existence. Because to not realize that everything comes from God means that really in the end, what good is what we're doing in life, period? Why live? Why exist? To not acknowledge that the joy and the beauty and the power that all of us here tonight have something from God that we have to offer that extends all the way from right now, all the way into eternity. I believe that for every one of you because I believe Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And I come back to that verse 10 so often. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Every one of us here. But if we don't take hold of returning to God, we will lose then our existence, we'll squander an existence, and instead we'll live our lives only for the temporary, only for the temporal, only for what pleases us, and we'll forget that we're here to return to God with what that he has blessed us with. The third thing is it'll lead us to a sober conclusion. Because if we think that life just came to us, or came from us and not God, with no purpose from God or accounting to God and how we fit into a much greater plan and scheme of things, then the end is really ugly. Jesus gave a parable of this. Remember he told in Luke chapter 12 about a man who was very blessed. And the man came into more blessings. So what did he do? Jesus said that man said, I'll build bigger barns. And I'll take everything out of these barns and I'll put them in and I'll just keep storing up. And Jesus said that God said to that man, you fool, this very night your life is demanded from you. Then who's going to get what you prepared for yourself? Jesus said, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself and not for God. What led Jesus to give that parable? It was the context of someone in the crowd saying, teacher, share with us, or tell my brother to share his inheritance with me. And Jesus replied, man, who appointed you or made me to be your judge or your arbiter between you and your brother? And then he said to them, to the crowd, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. And then he told the story of the man who built the bigger barns. See, Luke 12, verse 20. God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. The word there in the Greek demanded means to ask back, to exact something that is due. In other words, what Jesus is saying is God is the one who takes who everything comes from and takes everything back. Again, it's the cycle, if you will. It's this principle and truth of Scripture. Job said it this way, amidst him trying to sort through his life, Job 14. He says, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Everything comes from him, through him, and back to him are all things. That's Jesus' point. those that are rich toward themselves versus those who are rich toward God. So to miss this anchoring truth tonight is really to miss the whole design of why and who and what God made us to be. And to discover it is to discover the meaning of life. And once discovered, I think it leads us to what I'm calling tonight a life of returning. That you live your life constantly returning back to God. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you hope to be, everything that you've become, everything that he's blessed you with, that you live a life of constant returning, because that's what the Bible describes for us. And really that is what Paul is summarizing the great doxology of Romans 11 with. The closing, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. So then we're faced with a choice. The ultimate choice is this. You return it now or you're going to return it then. So we make that choice in our life. It's going to go back to him sooner or later. And the delight and the joy and the call of Scripture is that we return it to him now. Anchoring premise, we originate from God and return to God everything. So the second thought tonight is this. To take responsibility to return everything leads us to three things. It leads us to a sincere privilege we have before God. See, God made every single one of you in his image tonight. I didn't realize that that family's here tonight that I just prayed with, but we prayed, and as I prayed over that little boy, I prayed knowing, Lord, you made him in your image. That you made him, you created him with purpose. I believe that for every one of us. You made him to know you. He placed within us that breath of life. He placed within us the spirit. Aren't you thankful? Because Romans 8 says the spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Aren't you glad you have a spirit within you? You're not just a dead, hollow body walking through this earth. You have a spirit, and the Holy Spirit communes with your spirit. That's how we have relationship with God. How terrible of you evolution in the end gives compared to a knowledge that God created you to know him and to fellowship with him and to serve him. It's a gift. And so there's a sincere privilege, first of all, of returning because you recognize everything came from him. Second, there's a serious accountability that comes with setting your heart on being someone who returns back to God. Understanding this concept, if it all comes from him and back to him, I realize then that I receive from him, and what I receive must be returned to him someday. As Hebrews 9 says, just as man is destined once to die, and after that, what? Face the judgment. So all of us here tonight have a knowledge. We know one day we're going to stand before God. Jesus said we'll be held accountable for every word we speak. I don't know about you. That scares me right there. I'm thankful for grace. How about you tonight? Every word that we speak, that we're going to be held accountable for our thoughts and our actions and our deeds before him. It's going to go through the fire, Paul said, as we stand before the Lord one day. A serious accountability in realizing everything's going to return to him, keeping that as our paradigm. The third thing is to accept responsibility of returning leads us to a surrendered stewardship. And that's the key of a fruitful life. I look around here tonight. I don't want to name any names, but you are stewards. This room is full of people who have stewarded well. I hope all of us have. But as I look around, I know many of you, I know you steward so well. Your life, not just your finances, not just your possessions, but your very life, you've stewarded well for the Lord. Isn't that a joy and a delight? I've told before that story of the man that my associate pastor and I went, and the wife said, would you please go and pray with him and talk to him? We went there. I mean, the language that he used, he's just a lost man. And we walked into his office there, and I knew what his passion was, but oh my goodness, walked into that office, and there it was. I'm talking Pebble Beach, I'm talking Augusta, I'm talking everywhere. I mean, that man had played every golf course, you name the course. He had played in Scotland, he had played in England there with the British Open as hell. He played all over the world. It was just, that was his life. And he walked us through, and there was such pride, and that beautiful Cadillac convertible red with a white top sat there in his garage. And you realize everything about this man is possessions and pleasure. And to think, what a squandered life. And his wife is saying, please go. And we couldn't reach him. I tried to reach him. And even in the languages, we just tried to talk about God and what spewed out of his mouth. How tragic. What a joy to understand That in a life to say, I return everything to God, it's a surrendered stewardship of life. And we realize that God owns it in the first place. But that's the beauty. That's the beauty of receiving life from a biblical worldview rather than a secular one. It's the beauty of not jumping off buildings when the stock market crashes or giving up all hope when trials come. The marvel of martyrs who throughout history have stood there and while they lit the fire beneath them, they gave God praise and glory. Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? But it's people that recognize, I'm returning to God anyway. They're just returning sooner than maybe they would have wished, but they offer themselves to God. That's it. It's that all we are is God's. All we have is God's, and all we hope to become and achieve is God's. Now, how then is this lived out in our lives? What's the practical outcome of this? I believe it's an incredible, indescribable blessing. And that is that we fulfill God's will here in anticipation of glory there. That's the culmination of someone who says, I believe everything comes from him and through him and back to him. At the heart of it is to live the blessing of returning. And it leads us to three more things. First of all, our gratitude and thanksgiving. See, I love Thanksgiving Day because I love to watch the Dallas Cowboys lose. It means the world to me. You Cowboy fans, I'm sorry. But Thanksgiving Day, we know what it is, the Pilgrims. They landed here, a new land. They had made a trek of 3,000 miles across the Atlantic in 1620. Early that next fall, only 53 survivors remained. I understand they're not quite telling it this way in school, but we know the truth of that day. We know the story behind it. Had suffered incredible illness and sickness and lost so many that died over those months. And that autumn, they come together and they invited King Massasoit, who brought 90 of his fellow Native Americans together and the colony's first harvest, and they shared it with them. And these, as holy, religious people that believed in God, they returned thanksgiving to him. That's what we celebrate Thursday. Isn't it sad how far we've fallen away from history? But we can hold that in our hearts. And I'm sure that you'll do it, but I challenge you this week. Make sure to make it a moment around that table, especially if you have generations beneath you, that they keep a remembrance and understanding of what this day is all about. But it's been declared a day of thanksgiving. The scriptures then implore us. They remind us. They command us over and over again to do just that, to give thanks. This morning, what I considered sharing, and then I changed it at the communion table, but I considered just reading a scripture out of Daniel. I believe it's chapter 5, where it says that Daniel then returned back to his room, and what did he do? He threw open that window, he opened up the window, it says. And what did he do? But he prayed to God, and he thanked his God. He thanked his God. 1 Thessalonians 5, say it with me, in everything, give thanks. Colossians 1, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Paul urged Timothy, and Obi shared it earlier, that we offer prayers, intercessions, requests, and thanksgiving. Simply told the church at Colossae, be thankful. Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, requests, represent your requests to the Lord. It's just throughout, it's replete throughout the Word of God. In everything that we do, there needs to be a returning of thanks. As we pray, as we live, we just constantly live a thankful attitude and heart to God. It's a blessing of returning. The blessing of returning leads us to our adoration in worship. And I know, worship has all kinds of bends and twists and turns, but I tell you, I don't know how you come away from this morning's worship service and not just love worshiping in song. It was beautiful. Orchestra playing the street. We're so blessed. Those of you that served on the mission field and you've been there with just a huddle of a few people and there's no instruments and they're making a squawk to the Lord, and here we are this morning. Are we not blessed? But you know what? I'll worship him anywhere. How about you? And sometimes it's even better when we worship him wherever we may be, just on our own, might be driving down the road in the car or whatever it is, but we return thanks and praise. That's the act of worship. It's at the very heart of worship. At the very heart of worship is that everything comes from him and through him and now back to him. And it's more than just music. It's our entire lives. It's more than just music. It's our words and our deeds and our talents, everything that we are. The blessing of returning leads us to our adoration and worship. The third thing, to live the blessing of returning leads us to our generosity in giving. And here's where returning really kind of hits home for some. And we come back to stewardship. But the Bible is so clear. We don't own anything. We steward everything. That's what's heartbreaking, walking through that man's office. He had been blessed with so much. And he had enjoyed life. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. Matter of fact, Paul said we're to enjoy everything that God gives us. The problem is the man's paradigm. He didn't realize that everything had come from God. And so it was all about him. And he didn't return back to the Lord. The bottom line, God expects us to recognize that since everything comes from him, we need to be generous on behalf of others. This is true of every way we give, but most interesting when it comes to the giving of our finances. And I imagine most of you, there's just something about Sunday night kind of people. I imagine every one of you here tonight, you're probably tithing faithfully. But if you're not, could you just pause for a moment and think? And I just speak this from a pastor's heart tonight. And I know this is much better for a Sunday morning audience. But seriously, everything we have comes from God. And we can't return to him 10%. We can't return just the basic, the minimum. Beginning with the 10%, let me tell you, there is a joy to giving the 10% and then giving the offering and then blessing missionaries and giving. Carl and I began budgeting years and years ago, 20-some years ago. My insurance man sat down, showed us a method, and we use it every single month, and we write it hand scratch every month because I don't believe in computers. I'm just kidding. But when it comes to that budget, we just write it out by hand every single month. And you know what the first 5, 6 categories are? It's all returning to God. Tithe, district tithe, missions, AGWM direct, couple church planting in New York. And I'm not saying this to break. I'm just saying we return to the Lord. It's the first thing. Why? Because I want to be reminded we're returning. Everything comes from him to begin with. After that comes all the blessing that we spend our money on and the needs that are met in our life. I don't know how people can't return to God that he requires. See, it's an interesting, but this is how God made his appeal. And I'll close here in just a moment, and then we'll just take a few minutes of prayer. But this is how God made his appeal. You know it well, but look to the screen, Malachi 3, and notice the word that God used. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. He doesn't change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how shall we return? Will a man rob God, and yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. Notice the word there over and over again. Return. Return. Return your heart back to me, but also return to me with your tithe and your offering. Why? Because all of it came from him. You've turned away from me. God's saying to Israel, I've been your covenant God, and yet you keep turning. Turn back to me. But even when it came to the tithe and the offering, how do we return to God? He says, one way is that you stop robbing me and you return to me with your tithes and your offerings. You know what returning to God does for us? It keeps our perspective right. It keeps our perspective right, our hearts right, and it keeps the kingdom's needs met. You know, really, whenever we come to the Lord or when we come back to the Lord, I don't know any of you here, but I know in an audience like this, there have to be many that you wandered and you returned. But the truth is really with all of us, we were created and that old sinful nature's there. And even if it's just like for many of us, it was as a young child, it's all in the end. It really becomes the same as Peter wrote it. And Isaiah, he quoted Isaiah 53. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And then Peter comes along and says, what do? We return to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. So even coming to Christ is a returning. Back to the God who made us. Back to Jesus who gave his life for us. It's a coming home, if you will. We looked at several points tonight. So if you looked at the screen, I just want in clarity, just walk through them with you as we close. An anchoring premise, number one, is that we originate from God and we return to God everything. Take a moment and just absorb that into your spirit tonight. Everything. We originate from God, and then we return to God everything. To ignore the reality of returning leads us to a significance crisis, a squandered existence, and a sober conclusion. if we're not anchored in that premise. Second thing we looked at is the ultimate choice, and that is this: you return it now or you're going to return it then. I want to return it now. How about you? I want to do it now and let God use it for His glory. I want to return it now and accept the responsibility of returning, because it leads us to the sincere privilege of serving the Lord and the serious accountability of returning to Him everything and a surrendered stewardship that He uses all that you are for His glory now, so that then the blessing will be there. And that's number three, the indescribable blessing that we fulfill God's purposes for our life here in anticipation for there. And to live the blessing of returning leads us to our gratitude and thanksgiving, our adoration and worship, our generosity and giving, and even our rejoicing in our salvation that we have returned to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? It's a Sunday night. I look around and I think I pretty much know everyone here. But you might have come tonight, I don't know. But you may be here, you may be new, you may have just wandered into our service tonight. We're glad to have you here on a Sunday night prayer night together, especially in this cold night that it is. But I'm so glad you came out. And there may be one person here, there may be a couple people here that you say, Jeff, what I really need to do is return my heart to God more than anything. And that's what salvation's all about. And maybe you are wandering, you are that one who has turned away, and tonight you return to come back to Him. And I want to invite you to do that. Is there anybody here? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, between you and God. But would you just let me in on this moment with God right now? And you say, Jeff, I would like to return to God tonight. I understand this message. I understand that simple teaching you just gave. You're probably really kind of living life for yourself then, but you're off path and you need to return to Him. Is there anyone here? And you put up your hand real quick and put it down and say, Jeff, that's me. And I'll just pray with you right where you're at. I'll pray with you. We'd love to do that. Is there anybody you need to do that just to make things right with God right now, to return your heart to Him? Is there anyone here? You put up that hand. Just quickly put it up. Anyone? Anyone? Yes, I see that hand. Bless you. You can put it down. I had a feeling there was someone tonight. Anyone else? Anyone else right now? What a privilege. We get to pray with you to return to God. Is there anyone else tonight to come home to Him? Anyone else? I'll give you just a moment. Just a moment longer. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Can we just pray through a simple prayer and then we'll just have a few minutes of prayer together? But would you pray this with me? I'm going to ask everyone to pray it together. And this one that raised their hand tonight, there may be others tonight, just pray with us right now. We pray the same prayer, and we need to continually cleanse our hearts and bring ourselves to the Lord. So we pray right along with you right now. Let's pray these words. Oh God, everything comes from You. You are God, creator of everything. You created me, and I believe it was to know You. And I've wandered from You, God. I've gone my own way, chosen my own path, but I come home tonight. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe in Jesus, Your Son, that He died on the cross for my sins, and I return to You now. Come into my life. Change me from the inside out. Begin Your work now and finish Your work in my life. I believe in Jesus. Accept me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment, I just want to ask you to consider something. As we prepare for this coming Thanksgiving anticipation of Thursday, I want to ask you to return everything you can to God tonight. Kind of that here and now principle. But let it be emblazoned into your heart afresh and anew tonight that everything you are comes from God and through Him and back to Him. So either we return the thanks now, Either we return our lives now, we return all that we are now, or someday we're going to return anyway, as Solomon summarized it. So tonight, why don't we, and if you want to just slip out and just come forward to kneel, that would be fine. Or just right where you're at, let's just take a few minutes in the presence of God and let's return everything to Him tonight. Our very lives, our very hearts, our talents. It might be our finances. There may be something that we need to return to Him because we've held it back. We're hanging on to something. Whatever it may be, we're hanging on much too close, much too firmly. We're grasping it with our hands, and we realize tonight we need to open our hands and just return to Him tonight. Can we take a few minutes in prayer? And let's do it. And greater of all, be sure as we do this to return thanks, to return our thanksgiving to the Lord as we prepare for this week. As we prepare for this week. Would you come? Let's find a place of prayer tonight. Or just right where we're at in His presence. Lord, we return to You. We return to an altar. We return to a place of prayer. We return, God, our praise and our thanksgiving. We return our hearts, our minds. Lord, we return the goods, the prosperity You blessed us with, Lord. We return our tithe and our offerings to You, Lord. We return that we may be generous because everything comes from You and through You and back to You, Lord. Help us to live this as a premise. God, that's what this week is all about, Lord. Help us to live it, our lives. Help us to teach our children this principle, Lord. Help us to teach our grandchildren, Lord. And may we live it in an example that they'll see that we live for You, God, returning, returning, returning to You, Lord. All that we are, God, all that we are, may we return to You tonight, Lord.